T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So what you guys want to talk about? Just your regular springish Tuesday in New York City. There is a lot of concern amongst Yankee fans about the health status of Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge. We will update you and give you our thoughts as the show rolls on. The New York Jets finally woke up their sleepy Joe Douglas general manager, and he made some moves last night. But yesterday, call it a science experiment. I learned a lot about people last night and this morning as they reacted to my man Tiki Barber and Saquon Barkley sort of having a little kerfuffle. And here's what I learned. I learned that most athletes in this modern age, they don't get it. They don't understand. And this isn't just football players. Marcus Stroman of the New York Yankees felt the need to chime in on Tiki versus Saquon, if you want to call it that. And Marcus Stroman, I'm not picking on you, Marcus, but you represented a lot of what I heard in the last 12 hours. And that is the fact that athletes today do not understand that rivalries exist. The Giants and the Eagles are rivals. The Yankees and the Red Sox are rivals. And so as much as Tiki tried to throw me in the locker yesterday and say, you never played the game when we had a dispute about locker rooms.
I forgot about that.
That did happen. Here's where you do get it. You get something that the modern athlete doesn't get, whether it's Saquon Barkley or it's Marcus Stroman or it's Pat Mahomes or it's Lamar Jackson or it's Brandon Nimmo. I'm sorry, Brandon. I don't know why I'm picking on you. You haven't said anything.
That's because he's on the screen right now on SNY.
Oh, that's why. Sorry about that, Brandon. There are things such as rivalries.
Right.
And fans and former athletes who are fans now have a right to be upset when you go to a rival.
Well, I think it's changed, Evan. I think over the last 10 years or so, maybe it's the money, maybe it's the, I don't know, the exposure, social media. There was a time where it felt like athletes hated each other. And this isn't a get off my lawn, I want it back the way that it used to be. But the rivalry between the Eagles and us, the Giants, when I was with the Giants, it was real. Right, I said this yesterday when you were talking about Hugh Douglas, who's actually become a pretty good broadcaster himself now. Mm-hmm. Right, I hated playing against him. I hated those Jim Johnson defenses that would mug us in the gap and they blitz me all over the place. And I'm just accepting a pancake because I know I have to do it in order to protect the quarterback. I used to despise going to the vet and that crappy piece of you-know-what stadium that was disgusting and mean and loud and dank and cold. Like, it was a real rivalry, and it felt like there was an ire towards the players as well, you know, interacting with the fans. And I felt like that translated. Like, it translated from the stadium, from the seats, from the working class, all the people spending all the money to be there, onto the field. And we got it. Mm. Like, we understood it. Now I feel like there's like a glass wall that exists between the athlete and the fan, and what the fan feels and what the athlete expects the fan to feel. And so, like, when rivalries don't matter, what the hell are we doing it for? Right? Where's the energy? Where's the emotion come from? Is it just to play the game? Is it just to collect a paycheck? Is it just to get first downs and score? Like, what's the point
right.
if there is no rivalry? And I think as I've transitioned or evolved in this role that I've been in now for 17 years on the other side of the mic, I get it. Like, I understand it. That's from both fans yelling at me, giving an opinion about something, meaning on air, as well as becoming a fan of different teams as I've gotten older. So, I understand why the current player thinks anyone that's critical is just hating. But I also can understand why the fan feels like they don't, like their voice isn't being heard to the player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like the player doesn't care. It doesn't care to care. And so that's frustrating.
Of course.
Especially from our seat. And so all we're trying to do is be the voice of the people.
That's it. And look, we understand. We all understand why a guy made a business decision. We understand why a guy took more money. I'm going to make this very, very simple. I have this long, disgusting beard because I'm a fan of the New York Mets. And I want Pete Alonso to be a Met forever. I have gotten to know Pete. Pete's a good guy. Pete's a humorous guy. Pete's an emotional guy. Let me send a message to Pete Alonso that I can guarantee he understands.
Right.
He will not take personal. He will get. Pete, if you sign with the Philadelphia Phillies, even if the Mets don't make you an offer, even if the Phillies made you the biggest offer possible, I will understand why you went there. I'll get it. I'll say, I know why Pete went there. But you know what I'll also say? You're dead to me. Because you'd be dead to everybody who's a Met fan. And don't take it so literal or serious. As a sports fan, you're dead to
me. You're dead to me.
That's it.
Oh, you made a drop out of it, Loogie?
You're damn right he did.
Come on, Loogie. You're dead to me.
Now, with that said, I want to apologize to a major athlete who doesn't play for my team.
Go ahead.
I didn't get it, and now I get it. This whole kind of exercise over the last few days has made me appreciate the modern athlete who gets a rivalry, who understands I don't like that other team.
I know where you're going.
So this is for you, Deion Dawkins of the Buffalo Bills. He doesn't like the Jets. In fact, earlier today, he was being interviewed by Kay Adams. And Kay Adams asked a very innocent question. She said, hey, what do you think about the Buffalo Bills acquiring T. Higgins? I want you to hear Deion's answer. And when he's done, you will appreciate Deion the way I now appreciate Deion Dawkins.
The streets are saying T. Higgins should come out. What do you think?
T. Higgins?
Mm-hmm.
T. Higgins from the Bengals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we know that guy.
Would that not work?
First of all, it would definitely work. As long as, like, we're not getting no Jets guys, like, I'm good. I'm cool.
That's it. As long as we're not getting no Jets guys. Now, if this was me a week ago,
he's rare,
I'd rip him. But you know what, Deion? I appreciate you. I appreciate you don't like my team. I think you appreciate that I don't like your team or like you from a sports perspective. And that's what a rivalry is. If Deion Dawkins was cut by the Buffalo Bills, which there was a rumor of it happening,
mm-hmm.
I now have a feeling Deion Dawkins would have told his agent, you know what? You can use the New York Jets, but I ain't going there. And I respect the hell out of it because that's a rivalry. Understand, we know why Saquon went to Philly. Every Giant fan knows why Saquon went to Philly.
And nobody's begrudging him.
But he has to live with the consequences. And the consequences aren't just simply Tiki Barber saying you're dead to me. The consequences are Giant fans don't like you anymore. They're not going to wear your jerseys. They're going to tell their kids not to wear their jerseys. And if Saquon doesn't care about that...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fine, you don't have to care about it. We warned you on Thursday. If you go there, which you have every right to do, live with the repercussions. A part of the repercussions is that there are going to be many people who are fans of the Giants, or maybe guys who played for the Giants. Maybe guys who played for the Giants at your exact same position, and dare I say, was a lot better than you. Maybe they're not going to be happy with you. That's sports. Deal with it.
Right. I think the most important thing is this is not personal. This is about giving an opinion, giving an emotion. Like sometimes we just inform. Like when we get into football season and I'm digging into game tape and trying to explain everything that happens, watch every snap of the Giants and Jets, as you guys know. That's informing. That's part of my job. That's what I do for CBS Sports every Sunday as an analyst. Other times we just want to entertain. We mess around. We let Sean be a clown for us sometimes. And he does it willingly. And he's awesome at it. Right? He's got his piece. But sometimes there is a need for a visceral reaction, right? Like a real raw emotion for when something that you don't want to happen or with something you do want to happen actually happens. And Saquon going to the Eagles was that, right? Like when we were talking, oh, you're dead to me. It just become like a meme. Like everybody's using it now. I think Amon Green used it talking about Aaron Jones because he went to the Minnesota Vikings, right? It just Lamar Jackson did the same thing. It's tongue in cheek, but it's also real.
Yes.
Because that's what fandom is all about. And so, look, I get why some people could be upset about this. But at the end of the day, we're talking about why we play sports. Because if it doesn't mean anything, what's the point? And why are you, as fans, spending your hard-earned money to go watch it?
Nope.
If it doesn't mean anything, what's the point?
You hit it on the head. A part of why we spend our money, why we buy jerseys, why we go to games, is not just rooting our team on, but hating another team. Mm. Especially a team in our division, especially a team that's geographically close, especially a team we have a history with. That's who we are. That's how we exist as sports fans. And what I've learned over the last 24 hours is there is a major disconnect. You know, Marcus Stroman went out on Instagram and talked about the disconnect, really, that Tiki has. And the truth is, it's the disconnect that Marcus has. And he shouldn't have it, because Stroman is one of us. Marcus is a New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus grew up in this area.
Right.
Marcus was a sports fan as a kid. I think he was a Dallas Cowboy fan. That's what my research tells me. I could be wrong. He knows what that's about. And now Marcus Stroman is a major league pitcher who's gotten to see both sides. He's now on the Yankees. He was on the Mets. He was in Toronto in the American League East. He knows what rivalries are. But I'm just surprised that the modern athlete doesn't.
Well, here's the problem. The crossover, and it's happening more now than ever. Right? When I was playing, when I was in Saquon's shoes or Daniel Jones's shoes or Devin Singletary now is in New York Giant running back shoes, there were no former athletes sitting on this side of the mic, right? It wasn't Mike and Carl Banks, right? Mike and the Mad Dog I'm alluding to. It was Mike and Chris.
Right.
It was whatever the morning show was. It was you and Joe Beningo. It was non-athletes doing this job.
Right.
And over the last 20 years, a lot of us have moved into this space. Why? Because we love sport and we get paid to talk about it, right? But in the athlete's mind, they still think you're the athlete. They don't look at you as evolving into the rest of your life. And maybe a lot of these guys now, because there are literally hundreds of millions of dollars of chasms between the athlete and the fan these days, but maybe they won't need to do anything else with the rest of their life. Or maybe they don't want to because they've made so much money. But I enjoy being over here. And as I've grown in this profession, I've changed as a fan. Right? It's just different. Like when you talk about sports every day as opposed to playing a sport every day, you develop opinions, you develop like a different personality than who I was as a player. But the athlete and Marcus Stroman, this is why he's saying, I don't get it. What he doesn't get is that I'm not Tiki Barber from 2005 or Tiki Barber from 1997 when I first came into the league. I'm a grown-ass man that's been in this profession almost a decade longer than I was in the other's profession. So, like, this is the lack of communication that I think happens between fan and sports, you know, talker and the athlete. It's just, there's a disconnect. And it's become, I don't know, it's become bigger and bigger, it feels like, every year.
Yeah. That's why I do appreciate an athlete who gets it, like Deion Dawkins. I can't believe I've come around to this guy.
All right, you hated this when this first happened.
I didn't look at it the right way. I looked at it as, he hates us, I hate him. Right. I was like a caveman.
Right.
And now that we've experienced the athlete basically saying, I don't understand rivalries. I don't understand why Giant fan is upset. No one's upset that he took more money to go to Philadelphia.
Go make money.
We're upset that he's on a rival.
That coward Saquon Barkley.
That was bad, Tiki.
Oh, bad, Tiki.
We're upset.
Can't wait for Thursday.
I can't wait either. We're upset, yes, in an irrational way. That's a part of being a fan.
Right.
We're irrational. We would have rather have seen, I think most of us, Saquon Barkley go to the AFC and not be in our lives anymore. I can say the same thing about Pete Alonso, who's going to be a free agent in a few months, and I'm growing my beard out in hopes, in loyalty to him staying. If he's not going to be a Met, let him be a Texas Ranger. If he's not going to be a Met, let him be a Kansas City Royal. But you can mark my words when I say this. If he signs with the Phillies, he's dead to me. If he signs with the Braves, not that he will, he's dead to me.
You're dead to me. Did you trademark that for me?
I'm about to.
Right.
I think we need to.
I need about 30 cents. You've already said it three times.
You're right. I think I owe you money. This is your Bart Scott can't wait moment.
I know.
You're dead to me. And that's the reality. Now, we'll provide you an update on both Garrett Cole and Aaron Judge in just a few minutes. Let's get to some of your calls. 877-337-6666. Mike is in West Long Branch, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Mike?
I think the point people are missing is, especially now, younger kids like rooting for players.
Right.
But if you do like the Giants, how can you root for Saquon even in week three against, say, Denver?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
If the Eagles win, it hurts the Giants. You only get 17 games now.
Yeah.
17. So every game the Eagles win hurts the Giants, and Saquon's helping them win.
Right.
It's that simple. Not like he goes to the Texans and the Texans beat Tennessee.
Right.
Who cares?
And only thing will matter, only thing that we'll care about is if the Giants play the Texans and Saquon rushes for 120 yards, right? Which could happen.
And that's a one-off.
Right. But Mike brought up something that's important that is also evolved. That started around my time. It's the fantasy football edge inside of this, where you become a fan of a player as opposed to a team, right? So there's a large group of sports fans. I won't call them like major sports, but they're big sports fans who don't really have teams. Not necessarily here, not in the tri-state area, not in New York, because there's so many teams here, and you just become ingrained with the team that are here. But there's some places in this country where they don't like a team; they like a guy.
Yeah,
right. They like, I don't know, say Tom Brady because he won so much, or they like C.J. Stroud because he went to Ohio State and he had such success as a rookie, or they like Derrick Henry because he's just a big bruising star running back, or Justin Jefferson because he's on record pace as a wide receiver, not caring necessarily about the Minnesota Vikings or the Tennessee Titans or whatever team, the Houston Texans, whoever these guys played for. So in some ways, if you are a huge Saquon Barkley fan because he was integral in your impressionable year, just like there's a lot of fans of me because I was really good in their impressionable years, you're going to support that guy wherever he goes. But that's not the majority. I think that's a minority.
No, especially in
here.
Yeah, especially
in New York.
Especially in New York, especially here. I sense that a lot with the NBA nowadays, where kids are following the superstar player from team to team. But I think in general, in the NFL, and especially in this town, it's a loyalty to the team.
The Giants have signed a backup quarterback, a veteran backup quarterback.
Let's hear it.
They are signing Drew Lock to a one-year, $5 million deal. He was taking 36 picks after Daniel Jones in the same draft.
Oh, interesting.
So now they have Drew Lock, Daniel Jones, and Tommy DeVito. This should not preclude them from drafting their future quarterback.
I'm just telling you, this feels like a non-quarterback year. I mean, it's what I predicted the whole time.
Well, that they're not going to draft a quarterback.
They're not going to draft a quarterback.
So they're going to go into next season with Drew Lock, who's 9-14 in his career, and Daniel Jones?
It's not about how successful he is or has not been. Drew Lock is still young. He's not old. And he's a big kid. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it until I called a game with him. I was like, dude, this kid's big.
He's 27 and he's 6'5".
He's huge.
Big guy.
So unless they just view him as a cheap, maybe throwaway at the end of camp, which, depending on his contract, might be. It feels like they're building this team. Core, offensive line, defensive line. They're going to go get a skill position player, and they're going to ride it with Daniel Jones.
Wow.
That's what it feels like.
Wow. More on that next. 877-337-6666. And your calls on Saquon Barkley leaving for Philly and the modern athlete telling us, basically in one voice over the last 18 hours, we have no idea how fans feel and what rivalries actually mean. Plus, is Gerrit Cole going to pitch for the Yankees in 2024? And are the Yankees lying to us about Aaron Judge? There's a lot going on this insane spring-like Tuesday. We'll get back to your calls in a second on Saquon Barkley being dead to all of us here in New York. But I think Yankee fans are feeling like the season is dead to us as they await the news on Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge. I'll get to Judge in a few minutes. Here's the thing about Gerrit Cole, and I want to be the relaxer for Yankee fans. I want to be the guy to calm you down. Because I want to look at the big picture, because we don't have any answers yet.
Right.
The only answers we have is that Gerrit Cole went for an MRI. Aaron Boone said it may take a couple of days. There's going to be a lot of eyes on the results, which obviously is a warning sign that they want a lot of doctors to look at the same thing to figure out that they have the right game plan for whatever is besmirching the elbow of Gerrit Cole.
Right, that is not good news that they are bringing in multiple opinions to look at the same MRI image.
I agree.
Means something is off.
I agree.
And so now you're trying to determine the course of action.
I agree.
Like, what are your options and to mitigate this as best possible?
I agree. I think all the signs are there that we may not be getting good news in the last 48 hours. With that said, I want to calm everybody down. And I'm being dead serious about this.
How can you calm down a Yankee fan base that is petrified that Gerrit Cole is not going to be available, obviously, to start the season, which we already know.
Mm-hmm.
But now, who knows how long it's going to be?
I'll tell you. I'm going to tell you right now.
I got to hear this out, Evan, because you could be 30 seconds away from me coming over there and punching you directly in your nose.
No. You're going to punch me in the nose. I thought Tiki was going to punch me in the nose yesterday.
No.
When I kept repeating the idea that the Giants should have traded the Giants should have traded Saquon Barkley at the trade deadline.
You're dead to me.
Which, by the way, they kind of should have, right, Tiki? I'm just kidding. Right now, your mindset needs to be just have him back this season. Whatever the report is. Even if it's DeGrom 22, hey, he's going to be out till July. That's good news. Because the Yankees, I'm telling you this from the bottom of my baseball-loving soul, they are good enough to survive without Gerrit Cole every 5 days. But what you need is the hope of a return. What you need is not the knockout blow that says he's done for the season and needs the worst case scenario. I can't turn that into a obviously, that's a disaster. That's the walking time bomb we all fear about any pitcher. But if you get the news in the next 48 hours that at least tell you, okay, we figured it out. It's not great, but we can have this guy back at some point during the 2024 season. I promise you, the Yankees are good enough to survive it.
Yeah,
and if you get him back in August or July or September, he can still make the ultimate impact in helping you get to where you need to go.
In theory, I agree with you. But as soon as a pitcher has an elbow issue, you can't help but think inevitably he's going to need surgery or some type of procedure. This doesn't feel like, oh, he's got a little bone spur in there. Just got to do an arthroscopic shaving down, and it's going to stop picking on that ligament, and the pain's going to go away, and he's going to be fine in a month and a half once he lengthens himself back out.
Right.
Like, that would be the only situation that Yankee fans would feel calm about. I think anything else, He's got a stretch in his bicep. He's got, you know, the flexor tendon or whatever the heck else is going on in that elbow. Those things are damaged in some capacity. He's going to need rest, and we hope that it feels better in 6 weeks, and then we'll reevaluate. Anything like that tells you his season's likely over. And that's why it's hard to stay calm, despite what you're pitching as optimism. I know what you're saying. You're right.
Survive.
But unless there is a, I forget the survival. This isn't about, you know, the team in this moment. It's about Gerrit Cole. If Gerrit Cole, in any way, for a Yankee fan, feels like he's not gonna make it back because whatever mitigating circumstances they try to use and rest and etc. If it's not fixable, then Yankee fans are gonna be petrified and terrified and upset.
Tiki, you're 100% right, and there's another layer to this. Evan, in a vacuum, I would sign today if I knew I was getting Gerrit Cole back in July and August today without even having the MRI news. That's how fearful I am.
Right, healthy.
But even if they tell us our goal is July or August, why would any Yankee fan believe them after the way the Yankees have handled injuries last year, this week with Judge, as you mentioned, getting into it in a little bit? The Yankees have lost all circle of trust. As far as I'm concerned,
I get that.
Whatever positive they give me, I'm going to assume it's two layers past that, more negative, because that's the picture the Yankees have given us.
I cannot talk you out of not believing the New York Yankees. I totally get that. They have been less than forthcoming when it comes to injuries over the last couple of years, specifically with Aaron Judge, whether it was last year or even the last few days. What I'm merely telling you is there's a chance in the next 48 hours you're getting a knockout blow. There's a chance.
Right.
Where discussion's over, he's done for the season, and there's nothing you could do about it. I'm at the point where if I'm a Yankee fan, and by the way, I've done this before. This is a world I'm used to. I'm used to praying for news that means it's bad, but not as bad as it could be. I am an expert in this, as you guys know. And I would always make that deal, especially with a team that I think is good. And that deal is, just give me the hope and the belief he can come back. Like, May 1st, forget May 1st.
Right.
If you tell me, all right, we know what it is, and you're right, you could still be skeptical. There could always be a setback. Same thing with Kodai Senga right now. But the idea that he can come back in a few months, the Yankees are good enough to survive it, and Gerrit Cole is good enough to merely walk through that door in the middle of July, and I hate to use this phrase, be the trade deadline acquisition that you need upon returning from the IL.
Nobody wants to hear that
Tiki,
nobody wants to hear
that. Tiki, no one wants to hear anything right now other than he's fine.
Right.
So no matter what I say or you say or Sean says, there's no great answer to this other than let it not be the knockout blow.
But if it's potentially going to be the knockout blow, I'd rather know. I'd rather have that than, give us a couple of months, maybe, because maybe leaves you hanging on hope that's going to crumble as soon as you put any weight on it.
And maybe, you know what else maybe does? Maybe calms the fans down into not screaming and yelling that we need Dylan Cease or Blake Snell. Right. I don't want to be tricked. Go get one of those guys and save the season, which could be the only season with Juan Soto.
Based on the diagnosis, which we'll get in the next 24 to 48 hours, I think we'll all have strong opinions on what they should do, if anything. More on Gerrit Cole coming up and Aaron Judge and how the Yankees have completely screwed that situation up. Let's get back to your calls. 877-337-6666. A lot of fallout to Saquon Barkley being very upset with Tiki speaking for Giant fans and simply saying, you made a decision to go to Philly, which is fine, but now you're dead to us. And how every modern athlete has basically come out and admitted to the world in one voice, we don't understand fans and rivalries in sports. Let's go to Kyle in Smithtown. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Evan, Tiki, how are you? Tiki,
what's up, man?
I just want to thank you for being a voice of the common fan and telling Saquon how we all felt yesterday.
Thank you, Kyle.
Because I want to let you know, Tiki, that you will always be better than Saquon. He can't shine your shoes. When I was a kid, Tiki, you were the first jersey. You were the first jersey I got, and while that one doesn't fit me anymore, I have one that does.
I'm glad I brainwashed you when I still had my cleats on to make you like me.
I called to say thank you for speaking out for the common fan, and I want to tell Saquon, because I know he's got to be listening, because that thin-skinned loser cares so much about what we have to say about him.
I know.
Go kick rocks, Saquon. Kick rocks.
And if Saquon cares about what the fans think, he should really be listening carefully when he returns to MetLife Stadium.
That coward Saquon Barkley.
Because if he thinks he's getting, you know, video tribute and flowers and a standing ovation, I can promise you this, it ain't happening. And this is what's so amazing. Tiki Barber, athlete. You provide a perspective, Boomer as well, obviously, that none of us have, because we're NARPs, as Boomer likes to say. Maybe me, the biggest NARP of them all, which I'm fine and I accept. But then there are times where Boomer will speak, and you will speak, and I'll say to myself, they don't get it. They don't understand. Yes, they offer the athlete perspective, but they don't understand the fan. Well, yesterday, March 11th, 2024, Tiki Barber somehow pulled off both. In one fine swoop early in the show, he reminded me as a NARP, you've never played the game. You should be stuffed in a locker.
I felt bad about that.
It's all right. I deserve it. You have no idea what you're talking about. And then a few hours later, he turned into one of us. You turned into the voice of the Giant fan in saying, hey, you want to go to Philly? Okay. You're dead to us.
Good luck. Well, you're dead to me.
At least he didn't do it. I mean, at least he could have waited. Right? Wait until actual free agency. First day. First tampering period. I'm just going to throw it in your face, Giant fans.
Yeah.
Right?
And
if he would have thought it out from a PR perspective, not from a monetary, none of that stuff. Just wait. Let all this other stuff happen. Let the Giants trade for Brian Burns. Let the Giants sign John Runyon in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Let the Giants get better, and so we don't feel as, like, hopeless. First thing!
Well, you know what he should have done?
One of the first things that we heard yesterday.
You know what he should have done? You mentioned all the names. He should have waited till the Giants signed Devin Singletary. And been like, hey, what can I do? They kicked me out.
No, that's a great point. That's a great point. Now we'd be mad at the Giants.
Now, some people are. You know, like I am. And
no,
then you
of course.
Tell me I'm an idiot.
I'm just saying.
There's a more important question that needs to be asked in the wake of this and everything. Who is, in your opinion, the more overrated, overpaid, injury-prone guy to leave for Philly? Is it Saquon or Spike Eskin?
Well done. Adam is in Hasbrook Heights. How you doing, Adam?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
So I'm a big Giant fan. You know, I have a Dave Brown jersey and
Dave
Scott Brunell crest.
Bro, what's up?
Absolutely. No, but LT was my guy, and then you were, Kiki. And, you know, loved watching you play. I think that Saquon, you know, particularly got upset because it was coming from you. And I think that's why he reacted the way that he did. You know, and I have a question for you. And look, I want you to know, you go to the Hall of Fame, I'm going to be there. You know, you were the guy. I root for you to go to the Hall of Fame.
Appreciate you, Adam.
But when you left and things went down with the Giants the way they went down, I was angry at you.
Right.
Even though you were one of my favorite players.
Right. But I would bet, Adam, how old are you then?
I'm 51.
All right, so you were about my age. You were just a little bit older than me. So I would bet, Adam, that you didn't hear what I said about Eli. I bet you read what I said about Eli. And you reacted to what Eli's reaction was to what he read that I said about Eli. The problem is that story got twisted because nobody understood the context. Now, yesterday, when we were, I'm going to tell you the parallel. Yesterday, when we were talking about Saquon, when we said, Evan, how do you feel? It was so tongue-in-cheek, like, oh, you're dead to me, Saquon. Not like, I hate you, you suck. I don't like you. I'm never going to be your friend. I'm never going to smile at you again. All these other things. I think you're a traitor type of thing. It was, you were now playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. As a result, we can't root for you. And so things get twisted out of context when it's not fully understood. We're going to do a segment later about all the people that reacted to this. I guarantee you 80% of them didn't actually listen to the conversation that we had. They took a posted viral statement that was beautified or, I guess, uglified to make it look contentious, and they reacted off of that. And so
the challenge in our medium is that we want to go viral. Like, we want to be entertaining and visceral and debating and all these other things, but the context matters. Adam, you've been a Giant fan for as long as you have been. I don't have hate in my body, right? I don't dislike people. I'm not that kind of guy. I have fun doing what I do. And I felt like yesterday I was speaking extemporaneously for the people of Giant fan. Fine, we hate the Eagles. And if you don't hate the Eagles, then what's the point?
Tiki, I hate the Eagles. I hate the Cowboys. I don't know which I hate more, okay? Totally agree. And you have to do your job and have an opinion. I totally get that as well. He is dead to us. I can never root for him again. I get it. But I will tell you, I hope he has his day at Giant Stadium, because a lot of this whole thing was timing for Saquon.
Of course.
If Saquon comes in when the Giants are loaded and wins a couple of Super Bowls,
no doubt,
he's a hero whether he goes to the Eagles or not.
No doubt about it. You know, I was on the Dan Patrick Show. Appreciate your call, Adam. Appreciate your fandom, too. I was on the Dan Patrick Show earlier, and he asked about it. And I said, look, there were a series of unfortunate events that led to Saquon not quite living up to what everybody expected him to
be.
He was a second overall pick.
Yeah.
He had a great rookie season, and then injury after injury, ineffectiveness, maybe one of the worst half decades that the Giants had seen in a long time. He just happened to be on the team for it.
Yep.
He wasn't surrounded by talent, right? And timing is really everything.
No doubt.
It sucks. Hell, I retired the year before they won a damn Super Bowl. Trust me, I know about timing.
Right.
So it just is what it is. But at the end of the day, we were talking about going to a rival. The rival that's 120 minutes down the road.
Yeah, here's why Saquon Barkley is never going to have his day at MetLife Stadium. And part of this may be unfair, but it's the reality. I asked you a few weeks ago, before he ever left, before the Eagles were even in our lives as a potential destination.
Right. We didn't even think about the Eagles.
Didn't think about him. I said, what is Saquon Barkley's legacy as a New York Giant? And I offered something to you that I know you didn't love, but it's the truth. And Sean co-signed it, and Loogie co-signed it, which is his legacy is being drafted where he was drafted and having a lot of Giant fans be unhappy about the decision that Dave Gettleman made.
Right.
There's nothing on the field he did.
Despite the production that he has, especially his rookie season.
No doubt.
And last year,
he had a wonderful rookie season. He was overall a good player. But sometimes what you're known for isn't actually what you are. I'll tell you a really old story for the older listeners. There's a phrase used called the Horace Clark Yankees. Horace Clark was just a middle infielder. He wasn't bad. He wasn't amazing. He was just a middle infielder, but he happened to be on crappy Yankee teams. So all these years later, the Horace Clark Yankees is a term. And it's a term that's derogatory. It's a term of they sucked. It wasn't Horace Clark's fault. He happened to be a guy on the Yankees. So if I ask anyone who's ever heard of Horace Clark, hey, what do you think of when you hear Horace Clark's name? You're not going to say anything about him other than, oh yeah, Horace Clark Yankees, they sucked. Not his fault. It's not his fault that the Yankees sucked. It's not Saquon Barkley's fault that he was drafted number two overall. It's not his fault. Mm-hmm. It's not his fault that Dave Gettleman said what he said about him. It's not his fault, but that's his legacy. And here's the big problem for Saquon Barkley. Now he's got a rival number two in terms of defining Saquon Barkley. Like a second thing that can define his legacy. And guess what? It's not the Viking game. It's not the two-point conversion in Brian Daboll's first game. You know what number two is? He left to go to Philly. That's number two. So the reason Saquon Barkley has no chance in hell of ever having his day many years from now is because what he's known for are two things that you don't really want to be known for. Being drafted too high and leaving to go to a rival. Now, he may be known for something else in Philadelphia.
Right.
We'll see. Best of luck to him. But in New York, tell me where I'm wrong. Is that not his legacy?
No, I completely agree it's his legacy. I guess where we'll differ is how do we define his day? He's never going in the Ring of Honor. He's never getting his number retired. I think we all agree on that. But could Saquon on a murky Sunday afternoon in November of 2032 ring the little bell to start Hell's Bells before the game and get a round of applause? That's still on the table.
Nah.
Is that having a day? Because I'm sure he's in play for that.
That's dead to us. That's never happened.
Right. It's too hard to predict history, and I'm just not a predictor of history. I know it changes too quickly, especially immediately. But I have no idea what what the reception is going to be. Not immediately, because we know what that is going to be. I'm talking down the line when it's all said and done.
Oh, I think he's written that. I think it's over. He was a busted draft pick in terms of the unfair expectations attached to him, and they were unfair. And B, he left to go to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. That's his legacy. That's his legacy now as a New York Giant.
He's essentially a talented, beloved version of Dave Brown in Giant history.
Wow. Okay.
In terms of bad era and the face of it.
No, you're not wrong.
Vito is in Farmingdale. Good afternoon, Vito.
What up, Vito?
Hey, so it reminds me of, how about David Lee on the Knicks a little bit?
That's not bad, actually.
Right.
That's not bad. And, and you know, it's similar. The Knicks basically kicked him to the curb. They're like, no, we need Amari Stoudemire. Get the hell out of here.
And Tiki,
David Lee is thought highly of, though.
Yeah, David Lee has a good reputation.
Right, I think he still has a good reputation. But go ahead, Vito.
Yeah, so Tiki, you set up my point perfect with that little soliloquy you did on context. So what I took out of this whole situation with Saquon was he probably got one of his boys to send him the Instagram post with the quote, there's no way he listened to your
there's no chance.
Context of what you said. And that leads me to think that, was there some, like, deep-seated dislike of you this whole time? And this is what it took to bring it out?
I don't know. I mean, I've met Saquon multiple times. I've obviously called Giant games. He has my number. I do not have his because his number's changed. And if he had a real problem with me, just text me or call me. I told Evan this in before the show. It feels like someone else wrote that tweet. Maybe I'm in denial. But it just feels like it was so uninformed and visceral, like hateful.
Yeah.
Like drawing on, like he's trying to rewrite or relitigate my history with the Giants. And it's wrapped, man. It's not going to be re-talked about. You know what I mean?
But he also didn't say specifically what he was referring to. Is he referring to you retiring? Is he referring to comments about Eli Manning? Like, what the hell is he referring to? I don't know. We could speculate.
I have no idea.
I think I know the answer as far as where this comes from.
Go ahead.
Trusting you because you just said to us, like, look, I don't know if this guy doesn't like me. I don't have any history with him like that.
Well, no, I do. I mean, I see him.
No, but a negative history is what I mean.
Right.
There's no underlying thing none of us know about. Because I did a lot of research, and we'll do this a little bit later on. In fact, I'll tell you an exact time. 4 o'clock today, we're going to play a game of whose side are they on? We're going to listen to all the talking heads over the last 12 hours that, of course, love that there was juicy content provided by Tiki Barber and who they sided with. Were they on Team Saquon? Were they on Team Tiki? We'll do that coming up at 4 o'clock. Plus, at 3:30, a very new weekly feature every Tuesday at 3:30, and that is Toasted and Posted.
It's time for Who X'd It.
Oh, sorry. That's the old one.
That's the old one. Toasted and Posted, where we find an old tweet and then we play the game of who actually tweeted it out. Anyhow, I think you're a cloud that hangs over him. And let me finish why I think that. You are, and you can be humble about it.
Right.
And I'm just being an independent football observer when I say this.
But if you say facts, I'll agree with you.
You're the greatest running back in the history of the New York Giants.
Most accomplished, but yeah.
Okay. Most accomplished, greatest.
Statistics.
You guys agree with that, by the way, Giant fans?
Without a Super Bowl, though. I'm the only Giant record holder without a Super Bowl.
You still made one. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So we all can kind of agree, all right, Tiki Barber is the greatest running back in the history of the New York Giants. Here's a guy who got drafted with as much hype as anybody ever drafted at that position in the history of the franchise. You could argue, I don't want to say history of the sport, but certainly up there. Mm-hmm. When you were taken number 2 overall, especially in that era, this era of 2018, and you have the general manager saying, I will draft him because I think he can wear a gold jacket someday. That is the ultimate compliment. So Saquon Barkley walks into the facilities here in New Jersey as a hyped up superstar in the making running back. And he meets Tiki Barber. Mm-hmm. And Tiki's a great dude. Like, hey, dude, whatever you need, right? I'm sure it was a great conversation.
It was.
But then I'm sure he opens up a book, and that book provides the stats. And he sees, oh, this is the guy. Because maybe he didn't know it growing up. He was a Jet fan. He was more obsessed with Curtis Martin. He didn't really know what you did. And now he's looking at the sheets, and he's like, oh, geez, this is the guy. If I'm going to be a Hall of Famer, if I'm going to be what everyone thinks I'm going to be, I have to be better than him. And so from the moment he got there, he knew, I have to be better than that guy. Now, that doesn't mean he dislikes you. It doesn't mean you're a bad human, but he's a competitor. The way you're a competitor.
Of course.
The way a lot of us are competitors. And you're the guy he was boxing with, even if you weren't boxing him back. He was the guy he was trying to get past, even if you weren't arguing against him back. You were always the guy he would needed to pass if he wanted to be a Hall of Famer and the greatest Giant running back of all time. And he didn't. And then he left. And the guy he was boxing in the shadows with for the last 6 years
spoke
for the people and said what every Giant fan was thinking, which is, all right, well, you're dead to us now. So imagine that. The guy that for the last 6 years he was battling to be better than, and he knows deep down he didn't pass you. No one's arguing that. No one with a half a brain's going to argue it. I think that's where the vitriol comes, and it has nothing to do with what you said or did. Mm-hmm. It has to do with what you've accomplished.
Interesting.
What do you think?
I think Tiki will. Tiki, I think you'll get this analogy and most of our audience will. Tiki is Obi-Wan Kenobi and Saquon is Anakin Skywalker. He turned to the dark side because he couldn't take the Tiki realm, the good guys, the Jedi, and he turned his back on all of us and went to the dark side. That's Philadelphia the Eagles.
That's nice one, Logie.
Yeah, and by the way, the cloud clearly still bothered him when he tweeted yesterday, Saquon, and it was about, I know you're mad at me, but quick, let me remind you that Tiki wasn't loyal to the Giants and trying to go that way. When you're guilty of something, you try to throw stones and make everybody's attention go elsewhere.
Right. By the way, I had a chance to play in 2007. I did. For another team. And I didn't. Because I couldn't play for another team other than the Giants.
Mm.
Granted, I had other opportunities. The Today Show and Football Night in America and all this other stuff that I was doing. I could have played for another team.
Please tell me.
It would have taken some maneuvering. Would have taken a trade, basically.
Mm. Yeah, because the Giants had your rights?
Absolutely. But I could have played for another team.
It wasn't the Eagles, Sean. Stop.
No. I was going to say Eagles or Cowboys.
You know what team it was.
Of course.
He had a brother in the NFL.
Exactly right.
Use logic.
I keep forgetting he had a brother in the NFL.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame. And FS1, they used his picture.
I was going
to
say.
They're trying to excoriate me.
As I was doing my research on listening to all the talking heads' opinions on Saquon versus Tiki, I did notice that a certain show on FS1, no, not our guy, a different show on FS1, used the wrong picture. All of a sudden, it was Rondé Barber versus Saquon Barkley.
Okay, it's the black dude with a beard, with a gold jacket, and a Super Bowl ring on. Guess what? That's not me. He didn't look like me. He may act like me.
We'll come back with more of your calls, 877-337-6666. And the New York Giants did a lot in day one of free agency. Did they get better? We'll answer that question coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.